Turn with me tonight to the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 12. My text tonight is the 11th verse of this chapter. The Word of God at Revelation 12, verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So far we read God's holy word. I call your attention particularly then to verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Every child of God is involved in a great spiritual warfare, is involved in the warfare that is described in Revelation chapter 12. Every child of God, inasmuch as he or she is a child of God, is a believer, is involved in the war of the ages, the war between the great red dragon and the seed, the spiritual seed of the woman in this chapter. This is the Christian life. This is the Christian life that you two young ladies are involved in. It is not as though you have not been involved in this warfare up until now, so that only now do you become involved in this warfare. Not at all. Not at all. You have been involved in this spiritual warfare. You have felt the heat of this battle. You have endured already persecution for the sake of Jesus Christ. Persecution because you confess the name of Christ. Persecution because you walk in obedience to His will in the midst of this world. But now, the heat of the battle increases. Now, by virtue of your public confession of faith, by virtue of your public identification with the cause of Christ in the world, the battle becomes fiercer still. For not only has the church witnessed your confession of faith tonight, not only has your confession of faith been witnessed by God and by Jesus Christ and by the holy angels, but your confessions of faith have also been witnessed by the demons, by the devil, and by his hosts in this world. And soon enough, if word has not already reached him, it will reach him, and he will redouble his efforts against you. More than ever before, you will be involved in the great and spiritual warfare that is described in Revelation chapter 12. This warfare has gone on since the beginning of history. This warfare reached a climax at the time of the birth, the ministry, crucifixion, and death of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the passage before us tonight makes very clear. And this warfare goes on throughout the New Testament until our Lord Jesus Christ comes once again. This passage is a fitting passage from the Word of God to consider on the occasion of public confession of faith. For the passage speaks of the battle, and the passage calls God's people, not only these two young ladies, but calls all of God's people to the battle. Besides, this passage gives us the blessed assurance of our victory in this battle. Victory over the devil. Victory over the great red dragon. Victory in our Lord Jesus Christ, whom you have confessed tonight. And they overcame him. They overcame him. That is, the great red dragon. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they love not their lives unto the death. I call your attention to this text of the Word of God tonight under the theme, The Dragon Overcome. The Dragon Overcome. Let's notice three things together. First of all, let's notice who the dragon is. Who is it who is overcome? Let's notice in the second place how he is overcome. The text says, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And then thirdly, let's notice our comfort in this defeat of the great red dragon. The war of which our text speaks, and the war that is described throughout Revelation chapter 12, is the war between the great red dragon and the woman. The dragon is at war with the woman. The chapter identifies the dragon for us. We can have absolutely no doubt in our mind who the dragon is. He is described for us in verses 3 and 4. Verses 3 and 4. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Verse 9 of our chapter. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. The dragon is the serpent. The dragon is the devil. The dragon is the great enemy of God, of his people, and of his church. The description of him in the chapter helps us in identifying him. He is identified, first of all, as Satan. Satan means adversary or enemy. The dragon is the enemy of God, the enemy of God's people. He is clearly the devil. That is why, according to the passage, he is described as the great red dragon. That description itself helps us to identify him. He is a dragon, a scary beast, a beast who devours. And he is a red dragon. Red is the color of blood. This beast, this dragon, is interested in blood, the blood of the people of God. There can be absolutely no doubt that this dragon is the devil. According to the book of Revelation, and according to our chapter, the dragon began his warfare against God already before his opposition to God in time and in history. Began his opposition against God already in heaven. That opposition is described early in the chapter. And the result of that opposition was that he was cast out and drew with his tail a third part of the stars of heaven. That is, a third of the hosts of the angels. Now, who are the demons who stand in the service and at the bidding of the devil? The dragon, having begun his warfare in heaven, now cast out and into the earth, continues his warfare on the earth. He began his warfare on the earth in the Garden of Eden, in his temptation of Adam and Eve. He continued his warfare all the way through the Old Testament, doing everything in his power to prevent the fulfillment of God's promise to Adam and Eve after their fall into sin, the promise of the Savior. Doing everything in his power to see to it that the Savior would not be born so that God's salvation could never be accomplished. When Christ came, the devil was thwarted in his attempt to devour the man-child, that is, to destroy Jesus Christ. And when Christ by God was caught up into heaven, that's the ascension. That's the exaltation of Jesus Christ. When he was caught up by God into heaven. In his rage, the devil now turns his attention to the woman and does all in his power to destroy the woman and the seed of the woman. Who is this woman in the chapter? This woman against whom Satan, the great red dragon, directs his hatred and his opposition. The woman is the church. The woman consists of the people of God in every age who are gathered out of the world to God. In the Old Testament, this woman was pregnant, according to Revelation 12. Pregnant with the man-child, the one destined to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Verse 5. In the fullness of time, this woman brought forth the man-child with whom she had been pregnant. The man-child who is Jesus Christ, the Savior. The devil was determined to devour this Savior, the seed of the woman. But instead, he was caught up into heaven. Now the devil turns on the woman. And now the woman and her seed are the object of his wrath. The dragon hates the church. And he hates all of those who are identified with the church. He hates you tonight who have made confession of your faith. He hates you because you have confessed your faith. He hates you because you are members of Christ's church. He hates you because you love the one whom he hates, the man-child, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the important thing. That's what makes all of the difference as far as he is concerned. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It isn't you, you personally, whom he hates. It isn't any one of us personally whom he hates. He hates us because we belong to Christ's church. He hates us because we confess Christ. He hates us because we identify ourselves with Jesus Christ in the world. It's Christ whom he hates. That's plain from Revelation chapter 12. He hates Christ. When Christ came into this world, when he was born in the manger in Bethlehem, and when the devil's attack on him by God was thwarted, and that purpose of the great red dragon was not accomplished, then he turned on the woman and on her seed. But his interest, always his interest, is Christ, the man-child. That's the one whom he hates. It is therefore Christ in you that the great red dragon hates. That's why he is determined to destroy you. That's why he is determined to destroy the church. And that's why he is determined to bring Christ's church in the world to ruin. It is Christ in the church. Christ in the church today. Christ in the church by the power of the preaching of the gospel. That's how Christ is present in his church. There, where the truth of the Word of God is preached according to the Scriptures, Christ is present. And there he directs his opposition. Where the Word is, Christ is present by the power of his Holy Spirit. Christ is present now in the New Testament church by the Spirit. The Spirit who works regeneration. The Spirit who gives us the new life, the life that is in Christ. The Spirit who translates us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. The Spirit who works faith in us. The faith in your hearts, the faith that you confessed with your mouths tonight, the Spirit who preserves that faith in the child of God unto the very end. That's why he hates you. And there's the reason for his opposition against you, against those now who are the disciples of Christ, against those in whom Christ is present, he makes his warfare. There are especially two ways in which he makes his war against God's people. Two ways throughout history. Two main ways in the church still today. The first form of his attack on the children of the church is through the lie. The lie, the distortion, and the corruption of the truth of the gospel. That's verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out. Out with him. He seeks to deceive men, to destroy men spiritually by the lie. And he is successful with that. Widely successful with that. Except, according to the book of Revelation, except with those who are the seed of the woman, the 144,000 whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life and who are sealed with his seal. The devil does that by false teaching and by false doctrine. That's why it's so important that the children of the church are instructed in the truth of the Word of God. That's why it is so important that the children and young people of the church not only are present in the worship services of the congregation, but why it is so important that they are instructed in the catechism room. And that's why it is so important that the children and young people are instructed in the Christian schools, taught in those schools in the light of the truth of God's Word in every sphere of earthly life. But the devil also attacks the children of the church by means of persecution. The chapter speaks of the fact that the dragon persecutes the woman. Verse 13, "And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child." And that's our text, as is clear from the last part of our text. "And they loved not their lives unto the death." They are persecuted, some of them to the death. They die the death of the martyr. They die the death of those who refuse not to confess Jesus Christ, to take back their confession of Jesus Christ, who are faithful in their confession of Jesus Christ, even unto the end. When the lie fails, then the devil resorts to persecution. The next chapter in the book of Revelation describes the main figure by which this persecution takes place, and that is the Antichrist. Revelation 13, verse 7, "And it was given unto him," that is, the Antichrist, the beast, "to make war with the saints." So the future for the church, the future for you who have made confession of your faith tonight, know that. Know that from the outset is a future of persecution. You have experienced that already. You will experience that even more now. You know something of what it is to have others heap scorn on you for your discipleship of Jesus Christ. You know what it is to be reproached because you are determined to live a life of obedience to God's commandments. You know what it is to suffer at the hands of the world. And as the end approaches, that persecution will become the greater. But none of this ought to frighten you. None of this ought to discourage you. For the text assures you and assures us all tonight of the outcome of the dragon's war with us. Not we, but He is overcome. You have the victory. And to you tonight is promised the victory. That's the text. And they overcame Him. They overcame Him. The text points to two means by which the saints overcome the dragon. They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. First, the dragon is overcome by the blood of the Lamb. The Lamb, of course, is Jesus Christ. The Lamb is the man-child who is born to the woman. But the Lamb is Jesus Christ as He is crucified. The Lamb is Jesus Christ as He is offered up on the cross of Calvary. The Lamb is the one who is the sacrifice for the sins of God's people. This is the outstanding name for the Lord Jesus in the book of Revelation. He is the Lamb. And now, by the blood of the Lamb, the dragon is overcome. What a significant description of the victory of the saints in the text. The dragon is overcome by the blood of the Lamb. The work of Jesus Christ on the cross gives the assurance of our victory. The cross is the dragon's defeat. There, the head of the serpent is crushed, because there the sins of God's people have been paid for. And since their sins have been paid for, the guilt of their sins atoned for, the dragon has no right to us, no right to have his way with us. We have the victory. Our victory is not in ourselves. Our victory is in the blood of the Lamb. This is the assurance of the church. The cross is the dragon's defeat. That we can understand. But at first, it is puzzling to us that the text adds, "and by the word of their testimony." By the word of their testimony is meant their public confession of faith. The public confession of faith of the members of the church. This is plain from the fact, this must be what is referred to when immediately it is added in the text, "and they love not their lives unto the death." You see, that's the result of their public testimony. They are persecuted, and in fact, in some instances, they are forced to give up their lives. The testimony, the word of their testimony. This word of their testimony includes both the confession of their mouth and the testimony of their lives. This word of their testimony is connected to the blood of the Lamb. For you see, it is by the power of the blood of the Lamb that they are given the grace to make their testimony. They make their testimony, the word of their testimony, as the fruit of the blood of the Lamb. But how now is the dragon overcome by the word of their testimony? How is the testimony of believers the means of the defeat of the dragon? It is that in at least three respects. First, the public testimony of believers is due to the defeat of the dragon in their own lives personally. Otherwise, they would never make this testimony, never confess Jesus Christ, never live as His disciples. Their public testimony is itself the evidence of the defeat of the dragon in their own lives personally. Secondly, the public testimony of believers is the means of the defeat of the dragon inasmuch as God is pleased to use our testimony to gain others to Jesus Christ. And when that happens, the dragon is defeated in the life of others also. And then third, the public testimony of believers is the means of the defeat of the dragon inasmuch as that testimony seals His final judgment and aggravates before God His judgment in the great day of Jesus Christ. God sees, you see, the word of our testimony. He hears and He knows and He sees the opposition of the dragon and those who stand with the dragon, and He judges them for their opposition to our testimony. In this defeat now of the dragon, we must take our comfort. The child of God has his comfort in spite of the fact that often it does not appear that the dragon is defeated. What often appears to be the case is that the dragon and those who stand with the dragon have the victory. They triumph in the world. Often it appears that the church goes down to defeat. Not so. We must not look at appearances, but we must look with the eye of faith. And with the eye of faith, what we must see is the defeat of the dragon. But always the church and the people of God have the victory because the devil was unable to destroy the man-child. Utterly unable. He was caught up to God and to His throne. And there he sits, exalted at God's right hand. There he rules over all nations with that rod of iron that is in his hand. And in him, even now we have the victory. And our comfort is, he is coming again. He will return. Our comfort is, that the Lamb who died for us, in whom we are, and to whom we belong, will triumph. And one day, His great victory will also be our great victory. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, we thank Thee for the victory that is ours in the Lamb. the Lamb who died for us, the Lamb who sits exalted at thy right hand, the Lamb who is going to return in triumph at the end of the ages. Give us this hope and this blessed assurance. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we may have the confidence that those in whom thou hast begun the work of thy grace, thou wilt certainly preserve it, come what may, to the very end. In his name, amen.